It is my honor again to stand before you, and I'd also like to say to those who are our mothers, thank you for what you do. Thank you for being here. Thank you for striving to be the light and for raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I am so thankful to have a Christian mom. I'm so thankful to have a Christian mother-in-law, and I'm so thankful to have a Christian wife. It is a blessing to know that they are helping to mold and continue to mold. And all of you mothers out there, you're indeed very special. So I'd like to say again, as Justin did earlier, welcome. Thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We'd also like to welcome those who are visiting with us, those who are our members. We do have a lot of folks out of town, some that are away with their mothers, and so we can certainly understand that. But we also want to welcome those who may be live streaming and not able to be with us today. And so what a blessing technology is. And so I'm glad that we're here today. And today we have a brand new mom who is able to be here with her beautiful son, their beautiful son. Baby Levi is here for the very first time. Maya and Austin are proud parents. Beautiful couple. We're so blessed to have them. And if you haven't been able to see this head full of black hair, this handsome young man, the good news is you're about to. Austin, bring him on up, man. We're going to introduce him to everybody. Baby Levi was sleeping when I saw him. My loud voice probably woke him up. Come on up here with us, brother. Oh, my. I didn't get to hold him when he was born. So this is my very first time. Look at that. Huh? Isn't that precious? You okay, bud? All right. Congratulations. Happy Mother's Day. I hear you, man. Bless. So it's great. What a blessing it is to be with your children and be able to worship. I mean, we're just blessed, aren't we? I would like to stop right now and thank God. Let's do that. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for the many ways you bless us. Father, we're so thankful to be your children. Father, we're so thankful that we can be together here today in worship. Father, I am just in debt. We're all in debt to you, but I'm also in awe, Father, of how precious it is to be able to gather together and know that when we come together, you're here in our presence. And Father, for that, we ask you to help us to continue to focus on what we need to do and be what we need to be. And Father, as we study together today, I pray that we'll all draw something from our lesson, that we'll all challenge ourselves, that we'll all strive to be the best Christians we can be. Father, we're thankful for our mothers. We're thankful for the way they have loved us, for the way they have nurtured us, for the way that they have prayed for us, and for the way that they are our biggest fans. Father, we ask you to bless the mothers. We ask you to bless those who desire to be mothers. Father, we pray for those who are expecting mothers and those who will be having children in the very near future. And Father, we pray that you will help us to do everything we can if maybe our mother is not able to worship with us. And Father, that we will encourage them and we will love them enough to continue to share the gospel message with them. But Father, we ask your blessings on the rest of our day. Help us as we study your word now. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. It was a mother and daughter duo that sang the words, or sang the song, Love Can Build a Bridge. It was the Judds, as we know them as a group and as a mother and daughter. The lyrics in that song sound like a mom looking out for her child. I'd gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet to share with you the last bite of bread I had to eat. I would swim out to save you in your sea of broken dreams. When all your hopes are sinking, let me show you what love means. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? You see, when I hear that song, I guess, you know, more times than not, I've often thought about a love between a man and a woman. But isn't that what moms do? They would walk across that desert to save their child. They would give them the last bread, piece of bread they had to eat to save their child. They'd swim out to sea to save them. They'd do anything to help them. You see, when you have a godly mother, you have something very special. Gabriel did an excellent job reading to us from Proverbs 31, 28 and 29, where it talks about how the children of a virtuous, excellent, godly mother would call, rise up and call them blessed. And then also how a husband would praise her as well. Well, I want you to know in Proverbs 31 that is and we're probably very familiar with Proverbs 31, but what we may not be familiar with is who said it and why they said it. It's King Lemuel. He is king and he's talking about his mother. Because at the beginning of that chapter, when we don't really read the very beginning of Proverbs 31 very much, in fact, we usually pick up in verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies. And maybe you thought that this was a passage about a man looking for a woman per se, and certainly that's part of it. We all need to seek virtuous, excellent women, wives to have in our lives. But that's not where that passage begins. It's not in verse 10. Of course, it begins in verse 1. And so what we have is a man talking about his godly mother. And he's repeating an oracle, which is literally a burden his mother had for him. And because he's repeating this oracle, this burden, and again, she desired for him to have good things, just like every godly mother wants their child to have godly things. He is reciting the advice that she gave him when he was younger. And I think it's an excellent passage of Scripture to remind ourselves. He's repeating the things that she felt he needed to know so that he could be an upstanding young man and even man. It was a burden for him. Moms, you felt that way? How many moms, and you don't have to raise your hands, but how many moms in here have felt a burden? Not that their children are burdens on them, but a burden in their heart to make sure their children grow up to be good Christian leaders, to marry good Christian spouses. What an honor. And listen, fathers have that too, and our day's coming to talk about this, right? But we, or the mothers in here, your heart is there. You've carried that child. You've bonded with that child. You have loved that child like no one else can, really. And that burden is there, just like King Lemuel's mother had that burden for him. Here's some things that she said, and I always think these are really very special challenges that she gave to him early on in this passage. In fact, in verse 3, she said, "Don't hang out with questionable women." It's great advice. I mean, how many of us today are praying for our children? To marry someone that will, or date someone, or marry someone that will lead them to Jesus Christ. You see, that is so important. I believe the most important decision we'll ever make, and we'd all agree with this, is to become a Christian. The number one most important thing that we can ever do in life is to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. There's nothing that, I mean, there are people in the world that will challenge that, but we know as Christians, as future Christians, as church-going people, that being a Christian is our most important decision. But I'm going to tell you, I believe the second greatest decision, this is Terry now, these are my words, but I've seen and I think I could probably prove it with statistics along the way if I had to. But the most important decision we'll make, number two, is who we're going to marry. You see, there are a lot of times that people may start out as great Christians. But if we make bad decisions along the way in who we date and ultimately in who we marry, then they can lead our hearts away from Christ or away from God as they did Solomon. Solomon was a great man, but he allowed foreign wives, foreign women who served foreign gods into his life, and that took his heart away from God. Now, Solomon still should have been a big boy and made the decision, but it took his heart away. So it's real important, right? And that's great advice. Isn't it? It's great advice for a mother to give her son. Hey, don't associate with questionable women. He's also king. Guess what? Women love power. They love money, at least in the Bible days here. And so he knew that people would throw them. She knew that people would throw themselves at him. And so she said that. And I think that's great advice for us today. In fact, I pray every single day of my life that my children will grow up to be great Christian leaders and they will marry great Christian people. That's a prayer I've been praying since I found out they were boy and girl in the womb. That is something that I strive for my children to do because it's so critical. What else does she say? She says in verses 4 and 5, not to drink alcoholic beverages. Why? Because it's going to cloud your judgment. Again, great advice. A mother who cares, right? Don't do things that are going to cloud your judgment. I mean, we have enough things out there that cloud our judgment, right? We can overload our wagon sometimes and we can fill our lives with homework and everything else, and our kids and children have so much going on and all. We certainly don't want to throw any foreign things into the picture. And so again, she really was concerned about her child. Goes on in verses 8 and 9, again, this is because he's king, to be sure to stand up for those who couldn't stand up for themselves. As king, he should stand between evil and good for the sake of his people, and I think that's good advice. A mom looking out for her child saying, hey, you need to be kind. You need to look out for those who are less fortunate, those who are being picked on, those who do not have what you have. It's great advice. Three things this mom gives right off the bat that I believe every mom probably should give as well. Now, she might have told him a few other things. She might have said some things like we do, right? Like, hey, stand up straight, have good posture, brush your teeth, eat your vegetables, clean your room. She may have said those things, but we don't have them recorded. What we do have recorded is the advice that stuck out most with King Lemuel. These are things that his mom had told him that stood out to him. And he's repeating this oracle, this burden that he had, that she had for him. But then he goes on, as we know, in verses 10 and following, to describe what a noble or virtuous or excellent woman looks like. And you can imagine there, who's he talking about? He's talking about his mother. He's talking about how excellent she was. So what does it remind us today? It reminds us today that mothers are special. Mothers give great advice. Mothers are people, especially godly women, Christian mothers, that are raising their children up and striving to do it the right way. These are the type of women that we as sons strive to marry, as daughters strive to be. You see, when we think of Christian women, we think of godly women, at least I should say, we also need to think about Jesus' mother. She was someone that I understand was a human being, just like King Lemuel's mother, but she teaches us some pretty important lessons herself in John chapter 2. Go ahead and turn over to John 2. You see, moms like King Lemuel's mom gives us great advice. And they also give us great confidence. Moms who are instilling in us godliness, that are singing to us when we are infants just born, not able to talk yet, how much Jesus loves us. And they're talking to us about Bible stories and teaching our Bible classes and doing these things. These type of mothers are indeed most excellent. I believe Mary was that kind of mother. Yes, I do believe that Jesus, obviously, is the Son of God, and that probably put a lot of pressure on her, right? She had a huge responsibility in her life. In John chapter 2, beginning in the beginning there, verse 1, we have these words. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you to do, do it." Let's pause right there. We'll pick up in that story in just a bit. But after she turns to Jesus, now let me tell you the background of this. Tradition will tell you that Mary was not just attending this wedding feast, she was in charge of it. And again, they didn't go to the movies and they didn't have all the restaurants and everything we have today, obviously. So her being, what did they do for entertainment? Well, they went to weddings and it was a big deal. It was a big gathering. It was a lot of entertainment. And so today, in today's terms, we would say that Mary was in charge of the reception, okay? And would it be embarrassing today to run out of food? Yeah, it'd be embarrassing to run out on family day or whenever it is. But here it was a really big deal. She would have been the laughingstock of the community. Now, obviously, they run out of wine. They do. And so she turns to her son, her confidant, right? Her rock, if you will. And she says, "Hey, we have no more wine. What are we going to do?" And I'm adding that in there. Jesus tells her at that time, and now you got to put yourself in Jesus' shoes. Okay, try to do that at least for a moment. He has not yet began his public ministry. When he does this, people, the cat's going to be out of the bag, if you will, right? People are going to know who he is. People are going to start talking about him turning this water to wine. And it's going to begin his public ministry. Then he knows in his mind, because he's also God, that in 3 years, 3 years from this moment, he's going to have to jam all the things he did into those 3 years. And at the end of that 3 years, he's going to die the cruelest death known to mankind, but he's also going to be, for a moment in time, separated from his Father. All this burden, all this on him, and he knows when he does this today, on this wedding feast, is going to fast forward everything else. So he tells her, he says, "My time has not yet come. It's not the time for me to do this." Now, it's interesting to me, and there may have been more dialogue said, but John didn't record it, did he? We don't have any more dialogue between Jesus and his mother. But at the end of that, when he says, "My time has not yet come," she had the confidence in him to know that he was going to take care of his mother. And so she turns to the servants, and Mary gives the best advice you could ever give. And here it is right here. "Whatever he says to do, do it." Go back now to Proverbs 31 in your mind. You don't have to flip there. King Lemuel's mother, right? This virtuous, this excellent woman. She gives some great advice, doesn't she? She said to avoid questionable women. Stay away from things like alcohol that can cloud your judgment. Do good to those who are less fortunate. That is great advice. And we should do that today. I believe that's advice we should give our children. We should help them out. But we could sum it all up with what Mary said. Whatever Jesus Christ says to do, do it. Is that not the best advice anyone could ever give? And I think it's very interesting to know these are the last recorded words of Mary. Now I want you to think about that. There have been presidents, dignitaries, actors, religious leaders who have all great, wonderful quotes have come from them, right? We've used presidents, we've used politicians, we've used all these people throughout history, and it's okay. I'm not knocking it. Pulled some wonderful quotes out of it, but the best quote we could ever have come from Mary. "Whatever Jesus Christ says to do, do it." And I want to suggest to you today, moms, dads, future moms and dads, individual church members here, if we will adopt the advice of this mother, then everything's going to be all right. If I will live my life saying, is this what Jesus would tell me to do? You know, there are teenagers wear the WWJD bracelets. You know, remember that was a big popular thing years ago, then it kind of went to a different fad and different acrostics along the way and everything. But it's kind of, you know, whether it's back or not, I'm glad of them. They're able to look down at their wrists and see this WW. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? You see, that advice, if I live my life that way, then think about what's going to be better. Our lives are going to be better. Today, is your life bad? I don't know. You have to answer that. Is your life in turmoil? Is your life flipped upside down? Is your world like a roller coaster that shoots you out at 60 to 100 miles an hour, then corkscrews you and flips you, and man, you're just rocking along and not knowing what's to and from? Well, I want to suggest to you or ask you this question. Are you doing what Jesus says to do? Because if you're doing what Jesus says to do, then He's going to take our crumbled up lives and He's going to straighten them out. And He's going to make them better. Guess what else are going to be better? Our marriages. Let me tell you what the number one problem in marriages today is. It is not money. It is not communication. It is a lack of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, folks, I can solve the family dilemma if people be willing to listen. But they're not sometimes. Marriages that end for the most part because one or both decided to leave or never encounter Jesus Christ. Now, there are happy endings to some things. And sometimes godly people from that relationship find godly people. But what can we do to strengthen our marriage? Build it on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who said these words to those servants, didn't say it to her son, because he was doing right. She said it to her servants. And today, it is speaking to us. Whatever Jesus says to do, do it. That means sometimes, husbands, we got to swallow our pride. Wives, we've got to bite our tongues. We've got to work things out. What else would be better? Our direction. Our direction. Where we're going, where He leads, I will follow. But you know what the psalmist said? He said, His Word is a lamp to my feet. I was with Jason the last few days, along with some others, and we would have to travel this dark path. By the way, when we say there was no service, I mean, can you imagine today if you had, you know, Verizon, remember their deal was, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? That is a lie. Because Verizon, AT&T, nobody had anything where we were, but what we did use our phones were for flashlights. Because it was very dark where we were walking, where we were staying. We were in the country. But you know what? As dark as it was, when you put that light on it, it lit up the path. Well, that's what God said. If you do whatever He says to do, then He's going to direct our steps. He's going to light our path. So, our lives will be straightened out. Our marriages and families will be better. Our Christian walk will be directed. How about our churches? You think it would help our churches? I know there's a lot of people going to church today and every Sunday. There's still a lot of people goes to church. But I'm concerned that all the time they're not doing what Jesus says to do. And sometimes that's not the popular route, is it? Jesus said that much. He said, not everybody that calls on me Lord, Lord will enter. He said, wide is the path, right? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many will go, but there's a narrow path. There's a narrow way. That's His way. When we do things His way, it will straighten out chaos in the church. It will straighten out hate in the church, hate in the world. Kindness will be overpoured. Why? Because we're doing it Jesus' way. You want to know how to act tomorrow around your work people? Do it Jesus' way. Represent the church. You want to know how to act when you encounter somebody? Let's do it Jesus' way. To me, it's interesting that again, after this, Mary doesn't address Jesus anymore. Once she says, whatever He says to you, do it, her reaction is she just turns to those servants and she says it. You know, in this moment, even Jesus can't say no to His mother. And think about that. He wasn't ready, but because it was His mother, He made the best. He gave the best. Mary knew something about Jesus that others didn't yet know. She had raised Him after all. Here He is. She's been with Him for 30 years. And I suspect she saw some things. She understood some things about how special He was. She certainly knew that He was capable. And here's the results, beginning in verse 6. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And He said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. Jesus tells His servants to do some things. He tells them, first of all, to fill the 6 stone jars of 20 to 30 gallons of water apiece. Now, those are big, big jars, okay? What they would do, the jars were for the Jewish rites of purification. The Jews would go and they would go through the ritual of purification and such. And so they'd use these water pots for that. But Jesus obviously is going to use it for this miracle. And so people would come to the events and they would wash and they would get themselves ready. But ultimately, Jesus tells them to do 3 things, and I think they're very important things, and here they are. Number one, He says to fill the water pots, okay? Fill the water pots. Now, He told them to fill it with water. Then He tells them next, draw water from the jars. And then He tells them, take it to the master of ceremonies. Fill the pots, draw the water out, take it to the master of ceremonies. Now, they didn't challenge the commands because Jesus said them, right? Again, Mary had said, do whatever He says to do. They didn't question the commands because Jesus said it. Mary had said that they would do that. The confidence that Mary had in Jesus is the same confidence we need to have in Jesus today, too. By the way, those 3 commands, He's also telling us today. But I think He's telling us differently. Now again, Mary, the mother of Jesus, just like King Lemuel, gave great advice. Whatever He says to do, do it. What would Jesus tell us to do today if He was here? I believe He'd tell us, number one, fill your lives with Jesus Christ. Not necessarily water pots, but our hearts, our minds, our souls. What are you filling up on? You know, don't we tell our children, don't fill up on junk food? You know, can I have a snack? No, because why? Well, because supper's coming, right? Because we're going to eat in just a little bit. We don't want you to fill up on some. Well, guess what? Sometimes we fill up on junk. We fill up on things that do not matter. We fill up on sin. We fill up on nonsense. We fill up on world. And what does that do? It doesn't leave any room for Jesus Christ. If we take garbage in, guess what's coming out? Garbage. Whatever you put in is going to come out one way or the other. And I don't want to get grotesque, but that's just reality. If we fill up and we get too full, then we're going to regurgitate that. So my question today is, what is overflowing out of our lives? Is it filled up with Jesus Christ? The second thing He said to do was draw. He told them to draw the water out that they just filled. So what do we need to draw? We need to draw strength from Jesus. How do we draw strength from Jesus? Well, we get in His Word. We fill up on good. We fill up on God. We fill up on prayer. We fill up on worship. We fill up on the good things in life. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, and I'll say it to the day I die. The Bible's not outdated. But we've quit studying it. We've quit reading it. We've quit looking it up. And let me tell you, now there's a generation in here that y'all read it every day. I'm confident there are our retired generation, if you will, they're filling up on it. You know why? Because they understand. But my generation, below my generation, man, we're struggling to read it. We're struggling. Because it's not exciting. It's not the internet. It's not our favorite website. It's not our favorite social media app. But if we're going to draw the best, we got to draw strength from the Word of God. And we've got to fill up on that. And finally, He says, take the water to the Master of Ceremonies. What do we do when we have Jesus and we draw strength from Jesus? Do we keep it to ourselves? No. We need to take the gospel message. We need to take it to others. Now, you may say, hey, I'm not a great speaker. And that may be true. That may not be your talent. But you know what you are? You're somebody that can live Jesus Christ. You can live the gospel. In fact, we should be living the gospel. Wouldn't it be great that if at the end of our days, whenever that is, that people simply said about us, he went about doing good, she went about doing good, because that's what they simply said about Jesus, and that's who we're to be like. Live the gospel. So, fill your lives with Jesus. Draw strength from His Word. Take the message to others. You know, as I get ready to close, there are three other commands I'd like for us to think about today. Three commands that a mother had to a son and King Lemuel's mother to him and Jesus' mother to him. And they start this way. First thing we need to do is love. We need to fill our lives with love. Love who? Well, first and foremost, we need to love the Lord our God with everything we've got. Love Him with everything we have. We started with the song, Love Can Build a Bridge, talking about a mother, the way I view it, a mother looking to her child. But think about what God did for us. He walked across that desert. He gave us the last of His bread. He did what He desired to do so that we can be saved today. He built a bridge. It was impossible for us to get to holy God as sinful man, but He laid the cross down as a bridge for us to walk across. Today, fill up with God. Love the Lord your God. Children, love your parents. Husbands, love your wives. We could just make love everything. Remember, on those two laws, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus hung all the law and prophets. So love is number one. Secondly, we need to listen. We need to listen. Mary was willing to listen. She was calling out for help. And she was listening to what Jesus would say or do. You know what Jesus did? He listened. King Lemuel, I don't know how his life ended up. But at least in Proverbs 31, he was listening to his mother. Are we listening to those who love us? Are we listening to God? Are we listening to our moms, our dads? And then finally, what can we do to honor our mothers today as well? We can look out for our moms. We can look out for those who need looking out for. You know, here in John 2, Jesus was looking out for His mother. Even in His death in John 19, He looked out for His mother. This is how it closes. Verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that's John, standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Before Jesus breathed his last breath on this earth, before he said the words, "It is finished," he made sure his mother was taken care of. Why do we honor our mothers? Because it's a command. Because God desires that. Because they have loved us. They have listened to us, and we need to listen to them. And we need to look out for them as well. Today, as we get ready to close, I want to ask you, have you honored your mothers? And what I mean by that is not have you given them a rose, which is a very nice gesture, or taken them to dinner, which is another nice gesture, or whatever other nice thing you're going to do. Now, the greatest gifts we could give our mothers today was for them to see us obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest gift we could give as a mother today is to surrender our lives to the one who loves us the most. So I want to close this by asking you again, have you filled your life with Jesus? Are you drawing strength from His Word? And are you taking that message to others? Today, if the answer is no, then you can fill your life starting today by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of all your sins. Some may have done that, and since then you've quit. You've given up. Well, today you can draw strength again. You can come forward, you can make it right, and we can all leave here, not only honoring our mother, but honoring our Father, our Heavenly Father, by sharing the good news. I encourage you to come if you have a need right now. It's together. We stand and sing.